Hi, friends. Welcome to the very first podcast episode of Lit Analysis, a series in which my partner and I will be going into in-depth discussions about books and our favorite scenes that lay within them. This week, I, Grace Liu, and my co-host,
Claudine,
will be discussing
Crime and Punishment by Dostoevsky.
Okay, so just as a disclaimer, in order to avoid butchering the Russian names all the way through, we'll give them nicknames. So the author of this book, Dostoevsky, will be calling him Dosti. The main character, Raskolnikov, will be calling Rascal. His friend, Svidrigailov, will be calling him Sven. And everyone else will be keeping their respective names, like Sonia will continue to be Sonia and Donia will continue to be Donia.
Now let's get on with the episode. All right, so obviously this book is psychological fiction, and so we chose a specific scene, part 6, chapter 6, for the fact that it's the epitome of what the book is basically about, which is just a psychoanalysis of each character, right? So we have Sven in part 6, and he's just been newly rejected by Dunya, and then he goes off and kills himself. And the reason why this scene is so special is because he shows all the signs of being suicide. So he has a sudden calmness. He, you know, walks around in the rain. He thinks he's so cool. It's like a spring in his step. He feels so light, right?
And there was also a change in personality. So obviously, we've seen in multiple occasions how he's basically an alcoholic. And all of a sudden, he starts drinking tea.
Yeah, he literally orders tea and veal from the innkeeper, which is literally unheard of because he's a freaking alcoholic. And then he's also having sleep issues, right? So one central part about this scene is his dreams and what he sees, right? He's very disturbed by the dream that he has of him finding a baby soaked in the rain. He goes and tucks the baby in and he becomes a prostitute.
Yeah.
And it kind of like shows how messed up he is on the inside. Like he feels like everything he touches is like ruined, right?
Also, he starts making preparations. That is something... That is a very clear sign of someone trying to commit suicide because he starts giving away all of his possessions and doesn't really care about money.
Yeah, and he starts visiting like his fiance, which he never does because he is like the epitome of a cheater. And then he goes visits Sophia and gives them a bunch of money. He goes and breaks up a bar fight. Like, yeah. This is all stuff that Sven would never do as a rational thinker. Yeah. Because he doesn't care, right? He's told Rascal in the very beginning, like, I don't care about anybody. But in this final scene, he's caring about people. And so it's like the end and conclusion of his character arc, which is why this is the most rereadable scene.
Yes.
And so the reason why Dosti starts writing the end of his character arc and he gives Sven his suicide scene and condenses the scene in such a way is because he's finally bringing in and honing in on the theme of this book, and he's concluding the book.
And through this chapter, basically the readers are able to understand the implications that mental illness has on people.
And so that's why this scene also just really just brings home the implications of this title, Crime and Punishment, right?
Yep.
Sven is always committing crimes. He's like doing whatever he wants. He's not being moral, and then he has a punishment.
Yep.
And in this case, the punishment is that he believes that he can't get redemption, and he kills himself. Oh my god. How would you think this scene would play out if this was in modern-day times?
Well, it would have been... It could have potentially been a lot different, because, see, he had already committed a lot of crimes before. And with all the cameras that are in place around nowadays, he probably would have gotten caught for one of them and probably would have already been in custody.
Maximum security it is!
Yep. So, it would have been a lot harder for him to commit suicide, but let's say he did get away with it.
It's Russia. They literally have hackers and their little man's probably watching. But anyways, continue.
Yeah, so let's just hypothetically say he did get away with it. Even the steps he took to commit suicide would have been different. Like... communication. Like, he wouldn't have gone around just handing money out. He probably would have, like, transferred it through his phone.
Sent a TikTok! Sent a Snapchat! Yeah. Be like, hey, I'm gonna die, let me Venmo you some money.
Or, I mean, he probably wouldn't have said it straight out, but also, instead of telling everyone he was gonna go to America, he probably would have been a little more...
like, I'm gonna go to North Korea kind of vibes, you know what I mean? Alright, let's continue with everything else. Okay, Claudine's giving me the look, so let me just explain to y'all what it actually means. So, throughout the entire chapter, this man, Sven, he's like, I'm gonna go to America, I'm going to a foreign country, I have business to attend. And then he kills himself. So obviously we can see that America is a euphemism for HE double hockey sticks down there. And this is explained because Dosti himself believed that democracy in America was a symbol of evil and corruption. And therefore, America equals evil corruption equals HE double hockey sticks. And it's in the same way that we see North Korea, because we literally see it as living HE double hockey sticks on Earth. They don't have internet. They don't have anything. They barely have food to eat. And
everything bad and corrupt in the world is basically there. So you could see this as a comparison in a modern day context.
See, now you get it. All right, now let's get on to our analysis of Sven himself, because he's such an interesting character. Period. I'm so proud of you for having that realization, Claudine.
Well, thanks. And now on to another great realization I had.
Oh, really? What is it going to be about this time?
Well, actually, it's about how Sven and Raskolnikov are actually great, perfect complements of each other.
Really? How?
Well, both of them actually make up the seven deadly sins. So, basically, Sven represents lust, gluttony, and greed. So, basically, he just lives for himself and to pleasure himself, and everything he does is just for himself. So,
oh my god, yeah, wait, I can see it, right? He's always an alcoholic, which shows that he's, you know, gluttony. He's greedy, because he has so many freaking wives.
Yeah.
And that plays into the lust as well, right?
You got it. And basically, the second part of it is Rascal, basically representing pride, sloth, and envy.
And wrath.
Exactly. Do you know why?
No, why do you think I would know why? That's your job to explain it to me.
Well, I was just making sure. So basically, he represents all of these things because he just considers himself to be better than everyone else.
Oh, I see.
So as he considers himself to be better than everyone else, he has a sort of pride about himself. Mm-hmm. And he considers himself to be above. Besides this, he's also sloth because he is very lazy.
Yeah, he literally was like, well, my last tutoring gig didn't work out and I dropped out of school, so now let me go murder this woman for no apparent reason.
Exactly.
Because I'm better than her and she has money.
Exactly. And that also kind of ties into wrath.
Mm-hmm.
He gives into his wrath so easily, and also just, for example, like killing someone, that was just random. And also the wrath could have been tied into killing two women. Because he originally just went to kill one, and he ended up killing two.
Oh, I can see how the envy thing comes into part now. Because he's, like, depressed, so he's kind of, like, angry at the world for being so lowly, and he's angry that he's not, has all these things, even though he's technically better than everyone.
There you go, you're getting it.
Alright, I see how it goes. Okay, that makes sense to me. Dun-dun-dun-dun, it's award time! Sorry for my cringy sounds. So, the best overacting award goes to
Rascal,
because this whole entire book is just him having one huge existential crisis over and over again in a more exaggerated fashion every single time.
So in order to rephrase that, basically this entire book is his downward spiral into madness. Not that he already didn't have problems, but
it got worse after he killed the person.
Yeah.
All right, second award, Christopher Walken Award. So one thing that we felt like this book could have more of is more like setting of the city and what Russia of that time period was like.
Yeah. So basically, back then when he wrote the book, most people probably would have understood to some degree what it was like. But in today's modern society, it's really hard to imagine what it was like back then with all the changes that we've gone through. So a little bit more context as to what was happening in the setting would have probably helped readers imagine better what was going on at the time.
I mean, like, even when I imagine it, I think of, like, Great Britain, right? Because nobody actually knows what middle-aged Russia looks like, because they've always been so censored and always so secretive. And whenever I think about Russians, I think about fur caps and, like, snow. And obviously that's not as accurate. So I really just wished if Dosti could just add more setting and setup of the city in general and not just focus mainly on the setting of the people, it would really help me put this story into context.
Yep.
And the third award, Austin Rivers Award, goes to
Dunya,
who is the best character in my opinion. She indirectly changes a lot of the characters And she, like, inspires good in other characters, right?
Yeah.
Like, the only reason Rascal is semi-tolerable is because of his love for his sister.
Exactly.
Sven has a semi-redemption arc because of his love for Dunya. It's, like, the little things that matter.
Yep.
All right, back to our regularly programmed schedule. Okay, so it's Grace time. One thing I really like about this specific scene is the duality in the quotes that are mentioned. So, in one of the quotes, Sven says that Romanovich has two alternatives, a bullet in the brain or Siberia. And this is basically representing how Romanovich basically equals Sven, right? Because Rascal can either take the path of Sven, which is the path of not being redeemed, or go to Siberia, face redemption, and become a better man. And then another example of the duality is when Sven says that he would become a new man because of Dunya if things had gone right and Dunya had fallen in love with Sven. And this kind of is a dual statement because even though Dunya's rejection of Sven has led him to kill himself, his rejection also in some way kind of humbled Sven, and it led him to start his own semi-redemption, even though he chooses to off himself. Engineering that he wrote, like, freaking revolutionized the world.
Basically, yeah.
And honestly, a part of a reason why this man is literally prophetic is because he uses dialogue and characterization to set the scene of the story, which is, like, part of the Apex Mountain. Like, his style and the way he writes is so unique to people of that time, especially for a psychological fiction, that there's no way that it doesn't encompass human behavior.
Exactly. I mean, this whole book, obviously, is a psychological fiction.
Yes.
And this entire story is analyzing human behavior in the way of Rascal's slow descent into madness. But this scene in itself is also a very good description of human behavior in the way that Sven takes the steps into eventually committing suicide.
Yeah, and Dosti so accurately depicts the steps towards suicide. And it's like the steps that still apply today and behaviors that we continually see and can identify in people today.
Exactly.
Which is why he is such a genius. Because it's not that his advice can be taken at the time period at which it was written, 1866, but it can still be used 200 years later.
Exactly.
Which is something that a lot of other authors at the time couldn't provide, right? Like Charles Dickens, it gives us an insight to issues at the time, but it doesn't give us insight that we can use to solve issues now.
And with this, we conclude our first episode of
How Awesome Dostoevsky Is, JK, our podcast.
Exactly.
Tune in next time to listen
to Lit Analysis,
in which we will be analyzing The Secret Life of Bees.